Matthew chapter 5 before that. I will put on the headset, I promise, eventually. I know Kyle's about there trying to get my attention probably. What are you doing with that headset on? Go to Matthew chapter 5. And about the 11th verse. Tonight I was getting ready to come to church, and I had a plan to go into the kitchen and bring my favorite salt shaker to church with me. Did anybody bring a salt shaker tonight? Okay. Anybody bring any salt? Melissa, you got any salt on you? All right. But anyway, I got to talking to Peyton, and I said, hey, Peyton, are you going to go to church tonight? And he said, yeah. He usually gets home from work late. And I said, all right, so are you riding with me or are you going with you're going to drive yourself? And he's like, I'm riding with you. So then I got all excited, I guess, in my mind because he don't ride with me anymore. So I was like, I totally forgot the salt. Had a real good analogy with this tonight. So have you found Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, and also Acts 26, verse 19? We'll be over there in just a moment. This is a good correlation to where we're going, I hope. Blessed are ye, verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Did you hear when I read that? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Revile is a greater form than hate. That means they just despise you. And persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Sit there, look at that, verse 11, I want you to get that. They're going to claim things falsely against you for his name's sake. There are going to be people, if you live this right for Jesus, that are going to say false things about you. Is there anybody in this room that's had somebody falsely put something to you when you knew you were doing everything you could? Everything you were trying to do for God, and you're trying to do right by them. Amen? But they turned everything and they said everything. And sometimes, I'm just kind of preach it the way God kind of give it to me. Sometimes in your own mind, you get aggravated because you're like, you know what you're trying to do, and you know that God knows what you're trying to do, but you don't know if the information's getting put out to everybody else. Does that make sense? So you don't know, you're in that weird place, do I defend myself, or do I just keep doing what I know what to do right? The answer is to keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. God put this stuff in there for us to know that all this is capable. Right? All this is, it's going to happen, all right? It's going to happen. He told his disciples, and matter of fact, a lot of this information we're studying out didn't even go to the one disciple who was there, which is end up going to be Paul. Paul, there was a lot of things in the Gospels that Jesus said were going to happen to his apostles that just happened to Paul in the Scriptures, in the canon of Scriptures. He didn't even get to hear the warning. He just went through it, all right? I just wanted to, that was there, and I want you to get that. And it's for Jesus' sake. And then remember, remind that to yourself, it's for Jesus. Rejoice, verse 12. Golly, that's hard to say, ain't it? Terry, that's a tough word right there on 12, ain't it? Rejoice when you're getting talked about falsely, you're getting persecuted, and that 12 comes along and says, rejoice. Wait a minute. I don't feel like rejoicing. When I'm going through that, I don't feel like rejoicing. When somebody's saying, hey, Kevin's doing this, and Kevin's saying that, and Kevin's behaving this way, and you're like, no, that's not what I'm doing. And you can't argue, you can't make it right. And that person seems like they've got a bullhorn, and you ain't got any kind of way to get information. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there going, I'm supposed to what, rejoice? Wow, man, I'm telling you, it's tough. The Scripture's there, but we've got to learn how to live this way by the Holy Spirit. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. All right, guys, I didn't even mean to preach right here or stay right here. I was trying to go somewhere real quick with this, but there's some good meat right here. Got to get your mind in heaven. Amen? You got to get your mind in heaven. Sometimes you got to get your head out before your body and stuff else, everything else comes out. Sometimes you got to say, wait a minute. If I know that I've said all the right things, I know if I'm doing the right things, and I'm trying to honor God and I'm trying to do right by these people, then praise God, I'm going to get rewarded when it's time to get rewarded by God. God knows. Amen. You also know if it's not right there, but I'm just saying. Y'all, man, that's good. Listen, y'all, on this Wednesday night stuff, when I come in here a lot of times and I'm preaching and teaching this stuff, I'm absorbing it as much as you are. I need as much work right here as anybody in this room does. Amen. I need as much as this as I can get right here. Verse 13. Now listen, when you're going through this persecution, when you get your head into the heavens, the fact that I'm still being persecuted, I'm still being talked about and criticized and ridiculed, I'm still being hated for doing the right things. Verse 13, look at this right here. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. The things that make you a believer, right? There's a chemical makeup that makes salt. What makes you a believer? There's a bunch of things right there. There's a lot of things on past this in this same sermon. But what makes you a believer is the ability to be persecuted for doing the right thing. And guess what? And you know it's the right thing. And you got your head and eyes on God. And guess what? You are then the salt of the earth. Because in that, this is huge. In that, I want y'all to get that. In this persecution, in this place where people hate you unjustly, in this place when you're being talked about, is the saving place for other people. This is when the salt is needed. All right, golly bum. I love salt. I do. I love it. I am a salt guy. All right. My wife kind of put me onto the salt thing. Pink Himalayan salt, right? That's our thing. She's got high quality salt. All right? I've got, what is that? Golly bum. I've got cheap Himalayan salt. Morton's. That's what it was. Morton's. I've got this jar of Morton salt that I bought a year ago. Amen? I was going to bring it, and I'm so proud of it. It's about that tall. It's a slender jar. It's my salt. Melissa won't eat it. It's too low grade of salt for her. Right? It's not good enough. I put it on everything, right? But I was going to bring it to you now. You know what? In this last month, you know what I've used it on? I've used it on broccoli. I've used it on hamburgers. I've used it on some stuff. I even got a cut on my thumb, and I used it on it. Because it's kind of swelling. I know y'all are weird. Kevin, you're weird. I know. But guess what? It's got a healing principle, salt does. And then one day, down there in Hendon, I don't know if it happened up here, but down there in Hendon, right? Donnie, down in Hendon, in the little pocket down there, it snowed a lot. And on my back porch and side porch, I had a solid sheet of ice. So guess what I did? I took some of that pink Himalayan salt. I went out on the porch and just shook it out on the porch and shook it out on the steps. And guess what? I had a good walking path. So I used that thing for 3 or 4 different utensils just in this last month. And still, I got still half a jar of salt left. Himalayan pink salt, Morton's. I'll say, Melissa, do you want salt? She goes, I don't want that. Give me the good stuff. And he said, why are you telling me about that? It's in a Morton's jar. Morton's is probably the most basic salt there is, right? As far as selling salt. It's not when you look, you wouldn't go, man, look at that salt shaker. I bet there's not a many people who ever go to a restaurant and go, man, look at that salt shaker. That's something. Right? You don't even care. You don't even care how they bring you the salt shaker. Just bring me some salt. Right? During COVID, you couldn't get salt or pepper. Right? They had to go into the back and get it out of the biosphere. Right? I hate to tell you, it was in another table back there with all the other jars that had been used prior. Sorry. I just had to do that. And they bring it out there. You don't care what the container is. All you care about is what the contents can do. And I want to tell you this. The contents, salt is a change agent. And salt is used when everything has been gone. Oh, I hate to say it this way. When things are not good as they could be, or they have gone bad. Amen? Then salt is presented to make it better. Is that good? Y'all getting that? Let's go over to Acts 26, and let's see. You'll see kind of how this develops. Every person in this room who's been born again, who's been saved, is required to become the salt. You are required to become the salt. And I love what he says there. If the salt has lost its flavor, you only have one more utility that you can be used for. Throwing it out in the road, and hopefully you give some traction to everybody else. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to be the salt that's thrown out on the road for traction for everybody else. I want to be up on the top of the table being used by God. Amen? But to do that, sometimes God's got to be able to put you in some positions and places that don't seem well. Let's go. We're going to read quite a bit right here, and then I'm just going to preach you a little bit of thing that I want to see, that I show you something that really blew me away. You've heard this. You've probably heard it preached or taught so many different ways, but maybe you have a different view on it tonight. Whereupon, verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Let me stop right there just for a second. He's telling King Agrippa, he just gave his testimony on how he got saved. He's now developing his testimony and talking about who Jesus is, and he's standing before a king who has the power to even maybe put him to death, set him free, or push him on to Caesar. All right, this is the process. There's only three things that can happen. The Jewish people there do not want him to be set free unless it's into their custody. They do want him to be put to death, but they do not want him kicked on up to the Caesar. They want Paul to shut up and shut up now, okay? But Paul is telling King Agrippa is, when I seen this vision, when I seen who Jesus was, I'm being faithful to that because I believe in who he is. And here he goes. He continues on. Verse 20, "But showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and to great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, with much learning doth make thee mad." Oh, I love this. Festus, God, this is so good. He's sitting there giving his testimony, and then he's following up by what's happening now. All right? I want to kind of challenge you right here. I know you got saved. I know you got born again. What's going on now? Where are you at now in the journey? Okay, you got saved on this day, whatever years it was. What is God doing with you now? What mission are you on? What steps have been taken? Where has he pressed you? He said, "I went here and there. And then all of a sudden, I went up to the temple one Saturday, and all of a sudden, they tried to kill me. Next thing you know, they put me in jail. And then I'm witnessing the small and great all the way through here." Man, ain't that cool how Jesus works in his life? Has anybody in here go like this, "I wonder what God wants me to do"? Can I tell you this? If you'll get faithful and busy sharing what God has done for you, you'll look back in 3 or 4 or 5 years and go, "Oh, I'm already in ministry. Oh, I'm already down the road. I didn't even know." Paul couldn't shut up about what happened to him on the road to Damascus. If you talk to him, he would say, "Oh, on the road to Damascus, and I met Jesus. Jesus is a resurrection." And all of a sudden, man, he'd get in so much. And one person to the next were small and great. It didn't matter who he was in contact with, and that's the way you should be. There are no big audiences. There are no little audiences. There are no small people. There are no big people. When you run into a person and you feel the Holy Spirit moving, you got to say to yourself, "This is a God thing. There's a God thing going on here." You can't witness to everybody. You can't tell everybody. You can't say it to everybody. But praise God, when God tells you to do it, you do it. Amen? When God makes it crystal clear, oh, This is a moment right here. You ain't even got to worry about what's going on. I love old Festus. Festus is sitting there. See, Festus has already heard it. Amen? God, I wish somebody would get right here with me. I'd almost want to preach right here. There are some people who hear it and don't want it, but they hang around anyway. Amen? They're always at the barbershop, but they don't want a haircut. Amen. I mean, they're just sitting around at the barbershop, talk, hang out, but nothing's ever changed, nothing's ever going. But guess what? When it gets really hot in the house of God, they don't get happy, they get mad. They don't shout the praises of God. They don't say hallelujah. They don't say amen. They don't say let's go. They say, man, you need to shut up. You're crazy. Amen. He wanted to put an end to this. I think Festus, have you ever, golly, I love to preach right here. Have you ever, like sometimes I've been to places before, you almost like, oh, I hope we don't get embarrassed right here. I don't want nobody to get embarrassed, amen? I hope we don't do something to embarrass us. I think Festus was kind of embarrassed by Paul. I think he was embarrassed because he was sharing the gospel and he was sharing the testimony and he was not afraid to share it. So he was like, man, I thought this guy would, in the presence of this king, would just kind of melt and go away. But instead, it seems like the roles have reversed. It seems like he's got all the power and the authority, and praise God, we don't have any. Hey, can y'all see that? You got a governor type, and you've got a king sitting down, and the prisoner's got all the power. The prisoner's sitting there preaching with power, and they're going. And the only thing you can do, only thing you think of is, man, Paul, you've learned too much. You're crazy. Amen. I love what Paul does. He don't have to defend himself in every arena. Praise God. You might want to write that down, Christian. You don't have to defend yourself in every arena. Amen. Sometimes you just need to let it go. Amen. Where were we at? Somebody give me a verse. I'm 25. Thank you. But he said, oh, I love this. He don't even miss a lick right here. He said, I am not mad. Good job. Let me go back and get it the way he said it. He said, I am not mad, flat line, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Kill him with kindness. Did you see what he did? He said, I'm not mad. He's like, I'm not crazy. Then he looks at him and goes, most noble Festus. He pumps him up. Noble, wise Festus. Man, you're a smart guy. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling you it in a sober mind. You know what he did right there to Festus? He disarmed him. Festus is sitting there going, I know. When you're speaking about Jesus and you're speaking of the gospel and you're speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit, listen, people are going to say and do things and they're going to act certain ways. This word we have, this power we have, it cuts into the bone. It cuts into the deepest place. It's a sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts going in and cuts coming out. It goes down into the soul of a man. And it doesn't matter what the reaction is on the outside. It's what's going on the inside. I never worry about what's going on in the church. People say, did you see so-and-so in church? Did you see so-and-so? It didn't seem like he was paying attention. It seemed like he was sleeping. I don't care. The Word of God, man, you could have a hard shell on the outside and God be working on the inside. And man, next thing you know, you'd see that person out being an evangelist, a missionary, a teacher, a preacher. You say, man, I never expected him to be that. I never expected her to do what she's doing for the Lord. You know why? Because you're looking on the outside. God doesn't care about the outside. He's working on the inside. He goes, what I like is when they're present. If they're present, God's working. Amen? Just let them keep coming. I like that. Verse 26. For the king knoweth that these things. Oh, I love this. He goes right back to the king. What? Look what he's on the mission. He's testifying and he goes right back. Leaves Festus, goes right back to the king. For the king knoweth of these things before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in the corner. What he's saying is Jesus was crucified, and everybody knows it. And they put him in that tomb, and he rose the third day, and y'all know that too. You know this stuff. It's bothering everybody, and you're trying to figure it out, and you're trying to have little council meetings. Have you ever noticed, like, when something will happen, they'll have the Senate and the House, and they'll bring people up, and they'll ask them all these questions about what happened and how they did. That's what's kind of, they're trying to figure out what happened with this Jesus who they thought they got rid of, but instead, after they killed him and after he was raised from the dead, the church is growing exponentially, and it's getting out of hand, and they're trying to figure out, let's bring them up here, and let's do some hearings and try to figure out how we can squelch this thing. And God said, you can't. Sorry, I got a little excited. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Golly bum. Do you see Paul's leaning on this guy? I wish all the men in here can do this. I don't know how you women operate because I'm not one of you. But praise God, men, we're very visual people. But you got to see this. Paul, he has been brought from the prison. These are not your modern-day prison. He's not got jumpsuit and stuff on. He is just ragged. Amen? I mean, he is tired. He is hungry. He is worn out. But he is absolutely, the power struggle here is this man, when King Agrippa walked in, everybody stood up. He walked in, and he sat down. Then everybody else sat down. The power shift is totally on the other side. It's King Agrippa's. But here in this, all of a sudden, Paul has become this weak, lowly prisoner who all of a sudden now is speaking, and he is the only one standing, and everybody else is sitting. And then he's leaning on King Agrippa. He goes, I know you believe. I know you do. I know you've heard all the scriptures. I know you've heard all the prophets. And if you've got any sense whatsoever, everything it says is about Jesus. And man, he is leaning on his heart. I'll bet you King Agrippa still, I mean, all the way up until the day that he passed away, could remember every word that Paul said that day. I bet he sat there and went, man, that's the most powerful, alive thing I ever experienced in my life. And I just let it pass by. This gets so sweet. Here's where we want to get to the salt. Paul's being the salt right here. Watch this right here. Look what he says. Verse 28. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, O most thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He says to be a Christian. There's only a couple places in the Bible that the word Christian's even used. It's a little Christ. It's a negative, not a positive. Golly, but we've got it so messed up in 2022. In our modern era, we call ourselves Christians. If we were really, truly Christians back in the book of Acts days, they would call you a Christian, and it would be a derogatory name. It's one of those little Christ. We can't get rid of them. It's one of those little Christ. Peace, joy, hope, salvation, mercy, grace, doing away with the law, breaking all the years and years and years and all the traditions and all the laws. And man, we got to get rid of that. You would be a negative. You know what King Agrippa says right here? I hope you get a hold of this. He said, Donnie, I don't know if anybody else will get this. Listen to what I'm about to say. He goes, golly, Paul, your salt's good. Your salt makes everything better. Here you're a prisoner, and I almost want to take my crown off. Take my robe off and be more like you than I am myself. I would almost want to become a prisoner. You've got more life as a prisoner than I do a king. I want your life almost more than I want mine. Is your salt that good? Is your salt that good? I think the prayer for me tonight after this is going to be, God, let my salt be good. Let my salt be good enough that when I'm around somebody that might have a little bit more leverage on me in this world, that they would want to give up that leverage to be where I am with Jesus. Amen? Hey guys, when we read these scriptures, just let this thing breathe for a second on you. When this guy said this in this room, it was not how we read it in this room. When he said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian, every head, every ear, every mouth, every person turned and looked at the king, and their mouth came open. And they went, what are you talking about? They were stunned that Paul had shared in such a way the king's heart was exposed and it was open and ready to receive Christ. But he was holding back because he said, you almost got me. I believe this happens just about every Sunday here. Some people say, you almost got me. It's the crazy thing about God. It can be so powerful and so overwhelming, but you got to come, and you got to come quickly, and you got to do it when it's there. Because as soon as it's over, it can close just that quick. The devil comes by just so fast. Your personality comes by so fast. The distractions of life come by so fast. I love what Paul says, and we'll close right here. Watch this. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also that the ear may this day, all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Do you see that? You know what Paul just did right there? He said, he goes, God's so good, I wished you would get saved, but everybody else in here too. Because you didn't come in here, and I wasn't just talking to King Agrippa. There's some other people in the room that heard the same message, and you're in the same spot. And Paul said, I don't wish you were almost, but I wish you were all together like me. But I love that last part that Paul puts at the bottom. You know what he said? Except for the chains, except for the bonds. You know what he was saying? He said, I wished you were saved like I was, had the peace, the joy, the love, the forgiveness, the hope, the joy that I have. But praise God, I wouldn't wish that what I've got, my ministry is on me. But praise God, I wish you could walk out of here and tell everybody as the King that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ain't that, man, I know y'all have read this story, you've heard this story, and you've heard it preached. But man, look at that salt in the room. He has been persecuted, hated on, talked about. Everything Paul said, they twisted and turned and manipulated. They tried to destroy this man with everything he was. And guess what? When the salt was ready to be served, it was good salt. I wish I'd brought my salt shaker tonight, so at the end of the message, just pour you some out. You know what I'm saying? It's good salt. Guys, when you're being ran down, persecuted, and hated on, look up, square your shoulders, square your head. Say, God, give me the words and the ability to stand and talk to whoever I need to talk to, because I must be about to witness the gospel and the witness of my salvation and to tell people what Jesus is doing in my life today. Well, that's where we must be, because guess what? I am the salt of this earth. Amen? I am the salt of this earth. Let's all stand. Not a super-